What's not to love about T.S. Eliot's wonderful poem, The Journey of the Magi? A cold coming we had, but just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The way's deep and the weather's sharp, the very dead of winter. And the camel's galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. There were times we regretted the summer palaces on slopes, the terraces and the silken girls bringing sherbet. Then the camel men cursing and grumbling and running away and wanting their liquor and women, and the night fires going out and the lack of shelters and the cities hostile and the towns unfriendly and the villages dirty and charging high prices. A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night, sleeping in snatches with the voices singing in our ears, saying that this was all folly. Then at dawn, we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation, with a running stream and a water mill beating the darkness, and three trees on the low sky, and an old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves over the lintel, six hands at an open door dicing for pieces of silver, and feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued, and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again. But set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly. We have evidence, and no doubt I've seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. Phew, what a journey it was for them. Clearly there was drama and danger, threat and uncertainty, risk and privation, and always the not knowing, the not quite knowing enough to be sure that this journey, this unsettling journey, was going to provide the answers they were looking for. Only a deep, unshakable conviction that this was a journey they must make or lose everything. It was, without doubt, the most important journey of their life. There are echoes in all of this of another journey, the journey made by the people of God, the belligerent, stubborn, stiff-necked people of Israel, and their story. For them, too, there was drama and danger, there was disease and dissent, there was conquest and betrayal. There was shameful exile, wonderful, joyful return. There was invasion, occupation, oppression. The people of God on their great trek towards, well, towards what? The promised land, peace, fulfillment of their destiny. In fact, theirs was a journey on three levels. The sheer physical struggle of the people of God through pestilence and threat, the heat and dust of the wilderness years, hunger and the weariness of battle, till they found their homeland, the peaceful kingdom, that turned out, as we know only too well, not to be so peaceful after all. It was also a mental and intellectual journey, as they moved from primitive notions of themselves and of their God to the wider vision and the deep understandings. It became a heart-wrenching story of love, betrayal and willfulness, as they thought and learned, prayed and betrayed and discovered along the way. Discovered along the way in the struggle their true identity and what it meant to be the people of God, really, what it took to be a light to the nations, the blessing and the curse of being God's chosen people. And on yet another plane, at a deeper level still, it was a spiritual journey from doubt to faith, learning to move beyond rules and regulations to the daring, high-risk business of trust and love. It was a move away from the simplistic, red-blooded view that might is right, that you kill or be killed, that you take eyes for eyes and teeth for teeth, to other notions, to richer visions and deeper commitments. the developed understanding that took them beyond the crude idea of the warrior prince to the amazing notion of the Prince of Peace. It was a fraught, painful and tentative journey, and in truth, not everyone made it. And the reality remains that for the pilgrim now, it's still and always a journey, heavy with challenge, risk and invitation, as we engage with the tricky question of whether faith is about having and holding, or about looking and searching. Whether faith is about certainties that you sit back and enjoy, or faith is about a very personal journey that you make. That's a key question. Are we possessors of truth, or pursuers of the truth? Are we possessors of a truth, or pursuers of the truth? And at what point could you count yourself in? How much of the faith package do you have to buy into before you can consider yourself one of us in the fold on the team? Or is it enough simply to be genuinely seeking, asking and knocking? Enough just to be on the road with your fellow pilgrims without having all the answers, but hoping and believing that there are answers to be found, and if you're very blessed, you might find some of them as you make your faith journey. The shocking thing about the journey image is that it is so profoundly, inescapably personal. I make my pilgrim way, and you make yours. It can't be done. It can't be done second hand, at one remove. It's a calling that cannot be delegated. It doesn't matter what our granny believed, or where our parents stand on the matter. What counts is what our private and personal journey is about. And the reality is, whether we know it or not, we are all on the way to somewhere. We might be running as fast as we can away from our destiny, our dignity as children of God. We may be scurrying off the beaten track to the delights of Vanity Fair, that is our modern pleasure dome, where you never get asked to think about these things, and you can go from one Christmas service to the next without ever holding up a mirror to your soul. But however you slice it, you're on the journey. We're all on the journey at some stage or another, making our way along the long and winding road. But here's the best bit about the journey. I used to love living in East Lothian, and just outside the town where I stayed, there's a little bridge over the River Tyne, just before a little hamlet called Tinningham. And there's a sign with two arrows, a white and a black, meaning that the bridge is so narrow, only one car can pass across it, so someone has to give way and let the other have precedence. See, the beauty of our faith is that actually there are two journeys happening. There are two journeys happening. We see ourselves travelling towards understanding, towards faith, towards the light and the truth of God, travelling towards the celestial city. But God has already made a journey to us, not waiting to meet us halfway, but to encounter us on the way, here and now, where we are. God has journeyed to us in order to journey with us. That's the meaning of the stable at Bethlehem. It was to discover that miracle that the travellers from the east came, laden with their gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Where on the road are we? Do we understand that we're making the most important journey of our life? And where will it lead us?